Hello and welcome to How the Josh podcast show. I'm Omkar Chaudhary, your host. The strokes of the pen need deliberation as much as the sword needs swiftness. Well, the guest for today is a great, astonishing, and an intelligent writer. It is said, good writer's job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. Well, every secret of a writer's soul, every experience of his life, every quality of his mind is written large in his works. He is greatly recognized for his brilliant work in the books The Great Escape Route and When Karma Goes Upside Down. Let's welcome the magical person behind this book, Dishant Huria. Welcome, Dishant, on the show.
Hi, Om. Josh is very high.
Lovely. That's really an exciting feature for us to begin with the conversation.
Great, yeah, great.
All right. So if we enroute the whole journey back, or we trace back the journey from your childhood, was it a pre-assumed or was it pre-decided on your part that you wanted to be a writer, or how did it happen? Please tell us.
I think any writer, who has written a novel or a book or a short fiction, always knows that there is something inside that needs to be, you know, he needs to pen it down. It's been the same for me as well. When I was 19 years old, I sort of started getting this sense that, you know, maybe I can write, or maybe I can be a writer, a published author. But back at that age, I don't think I had the confidence to sort of, you know, go out there and push my work. But by 24 or 25, I told myself that, you know, something needs to be done. I need to go out there and start writing, at least, you know, give it a try and see how it goes.
Alright. So basically you started writing after 25.
No, so I started writing my first novel when I was 24, and it was published by when I turned 25.
Alright. And what was the name of the novel?
My first novel was When Karma Goes Upside Down.
Alright. And your education was also in terms of this writing domain, or was it arts or commerce or science?
No, so I had a bachelor's in journalism and mass communication. Then I pursued my master's in advertising. So for me, I always wanted to stick to journalism as a profession. It was only later in my career that I decided that writing is something I would want to push heavily rather than journalism. So I started giving some interest to writing.
All right. And the book that you wrote, When Karma Goes Upside Down, predominantly speaking about this book, from the title itself, you understand, it has got something to do with the karma, or something to do with your doing things that we do in day-to-day life, because that is karma, right?
Absolutely.
So what was the idea, or what was the mindset behind writing this book? Because there are so many writers in the world who write some rom-com stories, some of them write fictional stories, some of them write something horror, but what was your aspect, or what was your perspective towards writing When Karma Goes Upside Down?
I think, when I started writing my first novel, I didn't have a title in my head. Neither I was too sure as to how this I'm going to initiate a story. I had good 10,000 words which I had written good. I've been writing from good 2-3 years. So I had a rough structure as to how I'm going to plot the story, how I'm going to build the narrative and this character called Arush. So, after good 2-3 years of excruciating amount of, putting in labor and hard work to only those 10,000 words, I realized, okay, now it's time that I need to go all in and sort of complete this novel. And post it, when I started writing When Karma Goes Upside Down, I discovered that all the characters in some way are taking actions, but their actions are not matching their expectations. So any action that, any character has been taking, be it in terms of career, their love life, their professional life, anything, if you would see, it would always go upside down. And that's why this title sort of started to, hit me. That at the end of the novel, I think I was sure that this title has to be When Karma Goes Upside Down.
Right, because the characters that you're portraying in the book, their life is somewhere going upside down, and that's the reason the word comes, it goes upside down.
Absolutely, yeah. That's what the intent was.
All right. And speaking about your current book, The Escape Route, when did you publish or launched it?
It's been close to 2 months. That the book has been out.
2 months ago.
Yeah.
All right. And what was the thought process, or what was the mindset behind that book?
To be honest, somewhere down the line, I wanted to write an intelligent book. I wanted to do something that not many authors sort of, go ahead and do. So Escape Route is a multi-narrative. So by multi-narrative, I would just give you a gist what a multi-narrative is. Let's say you and me are having a conversation. So I would have a very different perspective to how I am seeing things, and you would have a different perspective to how you might be, you know, seeing or, you know, understanding the way life is going. So there is one perspective that from which I will tell you the narrative, and then there is another perspective from which you will give me a narrative. And that's how I build a multi-narrative. So the escape route is somewhere the struggle of between teenagers and how they their journey from, basically it's a journey from teenage to adulthood.
All right. So basically the character is evolving in the whole book.
Exactly, exactly. Although I won't reveal the plot, but it's a story of three characters basically and how they sort of progress from teenage to adulthood. That's about it.
Exactly, exactly. I think the listeners will be really enchanting, and I think they should really go out over there and read out the escape route, because there is something more exciting. Because when you say that there is a progression or there's an evolution of a person's character in the book, I think it's very interesting. I think it's a big reveal, I would say.
Exactly, and I think a lot of people have been, to be honest, the kind of reviews I've been getting lately, people have been able to connect to the character. So that is something very, I feel proud of.
Exactly, exactly. And like, you know, when it comes to writer, this is a profession wherein you can say it's a kind of entrepreneurship, because, you know, it's your book, it's your ideas, it's your thought, and it's everything you alone have to do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. Right from the thought process, like, because when we speak about a film, it's like, you know, there's a script writer, then there is a director, producer, actor, and there is people who do the PR work and promotion and everything. But when it comes to writing, I think, Dishan, it was completely your own thought process. The mind was like, you know, working in a certain way. It gave you a certain thought. You just penned it down. It, like, you know, you did, like, you know, you started working on the project and the things have happened. So throughout this couple of books, what was your perspective towards this profession of a writer?
Okay, so one thing that I will tell you now that I'm very confident, I'm good 2 books old now, so I can say this out loud, that writers have a lot of metal inside them. And the reason I say this is because you have to go through the process of writing, then you have to go through the process of editing, publishing, then marketing, promotion, public PR, everything has to be done under is only done as an individual by you as a writer. So there are a lot of stages that a writer has to go through. He's not only a writer. He will, you know, slowly and steadily become into a publicist, then you know, somebody who is marketing and promoting his work. So it really brings out the metal out of you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, definitely. And which is the process that you really don't like? And though, you know, there are so many stages. So which is the stage that you really hate or you don't like?
Yeah, to be honest, marketing is a very big challenge, and it's very strange. Marketing is a very big challenge. I am, like, a lot of times I'm very disappointed because. I don't know, people just don't read. And it's very sad that, you know, when you're marketing your work, you're sort of telling people, you almost have to convince them that, okay, this is a good form of entertainment for you. It's not only about movies or YouTube or, you know, content, but it's about having that sense of feeling, going through the character's journey. So, yeah, I mean, it's as a marketing, you never know what form of you know, marketing would actually work for you.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, when we watch a certain movie or when we watch a certain video, it's like, you know, everything is prepared and given to you and you just have to take it. But exactly. I think when it's reading, I think you evolve the characters in your mind, because, you know, when I read a certain page or you read a certain page, we have what different perspective. What my character looks like or your character looks like is completely different, and I think that's the beauty of a reading, I would say.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's all about, you know, and it also enhances your imagination, by the way.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, like, as you spoke about, like, you know, marketing is a bit of a challenge. Also, when it comes to writing, like, you know, mainstream writing, what do you see as a challenge or the challenging aspect of your job?
Yeah, okay, so I will tell you, when I was, you know, good 19 or 20 years old, then I wasn't really confident that I am at a stage where I can publish my work. But, you know, at 24, 25, I reached this vulnerable stage of my life where I was like, okay, I want to write a novel. And I had this brief conversation with my friend that, you know, it's a very uphill task that I would want to pursue. And it's a very unconventional area where, you know, a person leads, especially at this age of life. Most of the writers start writing at 35, 40, I don't know when. But I sort of took it up a little early. So my friend gave me a very good advice. He suggested me that it's all right even if you end up writing the worst book on this planet. But at least you would have written one. And that's where I sort of took it as a challenge. And I told myself, okay, even if it's the worst book on the planet, I'm still going to write one.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you have to start up with the process of writing.
You have to start the process of writing. You have to give 3 to 4 hours every day, sit in front of the laptop, even if you're not able to, even if no words are coming out of you today. You still have to sit in front of the laptop. That's the only mantra.
Exactly. Like, you really came to this point and I was supposed to ask you about it. Like, you know, when we say, like, I'm a writer, or like, you know, I practice writing basically. See, basically, it's very difficult. Like, you know, every day you don't have a thought, every day you don't have a story. So how does the process goes in a deep down in a person's daily life? Like, you know, every day, you as you said, that you have to be in front of the laptop and, you know, you try or you struggle to write something out of it. So what was that time like, or what is that time? How do you put it out in words?
Okay, so in the beginning when I, you know, every day when I was sitting in front of the laptop for good 3-4 hours, I would get impatient a lot of times, and I would lose that sense of, you know, patience, wherein I would be like, okay, there are hardly any merits in writing, and, you know, how to go about it, and I'm giving 3-4 hours in thin air. But I think I told myself that the end objective of writing would be that I would have a book in my hand, which even if I, tomorrow, if I end up, you know, I'm not there on planet, I would leave a legacy behind, come what may. And that kept on pushing me every day. And I would do everything to under the sun to somehow get those words out. I wasn't judging my work. I left it for my readers to, you know, judge it. So I would never judge my work. But at the same time, I would just make sure that I'm there in front of the laptop for good 4 hours.
All right. And like, you know, today we have so much of social media, like, you know, around us. So is there a kind of a pressure, like, you know, every time when we open any social media app, you see so many people of the same profession out there. So is there a kind of a pressure in that terms or no?
It used to be in the beginning, to be honest. But now I think I have learned how to handle social media, to be honest. Also, majority of the people who actually reach me once they have written my work, most of the mails that luckily I get an appreciation mail. And there are very, there are very less people who have been really critical of my both the novels so far. So that also gave me an extra motivation. And I don't necessarily, you know, spend a lot of time on social media. I focus only on, you know, the advertisement or the promotion that I'm running. And that's about it. I would say people should not really spend much time on social media, except on the, if they know what they want from social media. For example, if there is one, you know, podcast or a video channel that they are following, just stick to that. Don't go left, right, and center on social media, because it's too vast.
And, you know, there is one more person, and there was a podcast, I would say, and even he said the same thing, like, you know, unless and until you have a certain product to put it on the social media, I think there is no point in being on the social media. Like, you have a book, yes, you speak about the book, you speak about the whatever the critic's job, or you speak about the stuff that is happening around the book. I think you have a content to put it out on the social media.
Exactly.
But otherwise, there is, yeah, for a normal person, I think there is no need to be on the social media and waste your time, and, like, you know, just give 3-4 hours in the thin air. There's nothing important.
Exactly. You're just hampering your productivity, to be honest, and giving unnecessary stress to yourself that somebody has posted some picture or some video and you would want to do it. And even if that's not your forte or that's not what you really want, but it will just give you extra pressure.
Exactly. And Dishant, off lately, are you working on some new project?
So right now I'm a consultant with this firm called My Captain. So very recently I've joined as a consultant in this firm called My Captain. Also, I'm working on my third novel, and I would want to, you know, somehow by the end of year complete it. So that is currently that I'm, you know, hooked to.
All right. So if you have to speak about your third novel, like, you know, has a trailer or has an excitement for the people, like, what is it going to be? Is it going to be a romantic novel, or is it going to be a horror novel, or what is it going to be? So show us a glimpse about it. What will you say?
So I think I'm on the verge of completing my first draft. So I can tell you what basically the storyline would be. It's the objective of, you know, this novel is, so again, I have tried to experiment with my writing. So what's going on is that there is a novel within a novel. So there is a corporate scam which is going on simultaneously, and the writer is giving the narration as to how that corporate scam is revealing. So at one stage, he's writing novel, and on the other stage, once he's done writing, all the other peripheries of his life are being sort of penned down. So majorly, it's about a corporate scam and how that character is sort of going to come out of that big scam and how pursue his life again.
All right, so it's going to be a little bit of a suspense thing.
Not exactly a suspense, but more of a motivational, motivation sort of a narrative.
And Dishant, there's a next question which is popping up in my mind, and it's really a very general question. I don't mean to offend anyone. No. Because most of my friends who are like, you know, in the late teens or like, you know, the starting of their 20s, and they want to be a writer, the first thing that they do or they start with is like, you know, start writing some romantic things, like, you know, or their first breakup, they'll sit the whole night and write something, they'll prepare some draft, maybe a short poem or anything. So did that happen in your case anytime?
You know, to be honest, luckily in my case, I always wanted to write. So it wasn't something that, so there was a sense of romance always there in me. I would not deny that. But at the same time, it just didn't trigger me that, you know, I have something to share. No, I always wanted to write. So the fundamentals for me always remained the same. Even if it's a romance or a thriller, no matter how it comes to me, but there was no general sort of a place where it all of a sudden stick me, okay, I have a story in my head and now I need to put it down. I've eventually worked on my story.
Initially, did you start writing like small poems or anything? Was there a part of your like, you know, job, or like, was there a part of your initial beginning?
No, I've never been. I just can't write poems. Yeah, that's, I'm not, I can't be a poet. I know that for sure. But
because, you know, it just came to my mind and I thought, like, you know, let's just speak to Dishant about it and let me know what is his perspective towards it.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I don't have that poetic sort of lyrical mind. There has to be a lyrical mind where, you know, certain notes are matching, you know, your words. I just don't have it.
So like, whatever comes, it comes in the form of a paragraph or anything.
Exactly.
You know, it comes in the form of a thoughts or stories.
Exactly.
And, like, you know, when we speak about your favorite part about this business, what it would be?
Yeah, to be honest, once, you know, all the effort, I mean, when you see the final product, that is your book in your hand, every, all the struggle, it starts to make sense. If, you know, all the journey of writing and publishing and negotiating with the publisher and sort of, you know, start promoting your work. When you see the final product, that is your book in your hand, it's a very overwhelming feeling. I mean, I just can't describe it. Even today, my motivation is to sort of just somehow see the third book in my hand. It works, it doesn't work. People read it, people don't. That's very separate. But once I see the book in my hand, okay, I have achieved something. That is something that really keeps you going, yeah.
Exactly. And when we speak about, like, you know, let me give you an example. Like, you know, if there is an actor and we speak about their film, then after that, the next thing that consecutively comes in that actor's mind is the kind of collection that has done on the box office. So is it the same in your case, like when your book is launched, like after a certain is there a thought process that goes behind the revenue or the commercial aspect of it?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. You know, if my books will not sell, then I will not be able to pursue my writing, because then there would be other peripherals that I would have to look for revenue. You know, so for me also, or for any writer for that regard, it's very, very important to concentrate on marketing and really sell their books.
So when we come to the cover page designing, I would say, because I think many a times we say that a book should not be judged by its appearance. But many a times I think cover page does play a very crucial and important part, because, you know, sometimes the crux of the books are somewhat embedded into the cover page. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, okay, so there are two aspects to it, huh? So, I will give you first, as a writer, I as a writer, and also as an individual, I don't care about the cover. And they have never fascinated me. I would always look at the blurb when I'm reading. I would always look at the blurb and then sort of judge if this story is something that I would want to read or not. But for an amateur reader, it's very, very, very crucial. So the cover, like, I'm not a big fan of, you know, cover designing. I would rather just, you know, go out there and have a black and white cover. I'm good with it. But for, you know, an amateur reader, to attract an amateur reader, it's very crucial. Therefore, a lot of effort, publishers especially, put in designing. I think they put more effort into, you know, cover designing than editing of a novel. So, I mean, for both the novels, I think we have gone through good four or five sort of designs before we reach to a conclusion of having a cover. And that's about it. Yeah, there has to be a sense of attraction with the cover. I'm not a fan of it, but then you have to reach readers, right readers, and therefore you have to, you know, sort of give the right design out.
Exactly. I think when it comes to marketing, I think somewhere it plays a small role. Like, you know, the looks also play a certain role.
Absolutely. It does. I mean, if you go to a bookstore, if there is an attractive cover, you would go out there and pick up a book. So there is a general stat, by the way. If anybody goes to an amateur reader goes to a book buying place, he would only look at the book for 15 to 20 seconds. So the chances of a book selling are only will be decided in less than 15 to 20 seconds. So you have to do everything right, be it cover, blurb, everything right, so that because there is only a spam of 20 seconds where a reader is going to pick up a book. So in those aspects, I think it's very, very crucial.
Agree. And also, like, when it comes to cover page, there's one more aspect of that cover page is the title of the book.
Yes, man. Oh, absolutely.
Exactly. Because, you spoke about your first book's journey. You said that, you never had a title in your mind when you were writing. But at the end, when you just went through the whole book, it was like, the characters inside their life, their career is going upside down, and hence you wrote it as the karma goes upside down. So what is the story behind the escape route?
Okay, so first of all, I will tell you about when karma goes up, because my publisher doesn't necessarily buy it. But I think when karma goes upside down has been on Amazon 100 for a very long time because of the title only. Because when karma goes up, such an appealing title that anybody to everybody would want to at least pick up the book for one. Now, when it comes to the escape route, the reason why I picked up this particular title was because all the three characters in the book are somewhere down the line trying to somehow reach that journey, just bypass that journey of teenage and reach adulthood. So there is a sense of escapism in, all the three characters, where they just want to reach to that point where they are, okay, now we are adults, we can handle ourselves. We are good to go in the world. So that's why I chose this title, The Escape Route.
All right, so there's a, it comes all over naturally or instinctively that after going through the whole story that it should be. Like, after all, it gives a crux to the whole story as well.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the titles have to be sort of well thought. With both the titles, I didn't have a title in the beginning. I have decided my title at a very later stage. Once I was actually done.
Yeah, definitely. Because, at times there are two kinds of writers, I would say. First of all, the title comes and then the story has been formed on that basis, or the story is formed and on that basis the title comes.
Yeah, so that's there, but I don't really understand how can you have a title and then start working on the story.
Well, that was it for today. Now we meet on next Saturday. Until we meet, take care, be happy, and most importantly, be full of Josh. Thank you.